Today, there are well over 7 billion human beings on the planet, and most geneticists agree that all human beings around the world have one common ancestor. They named her mitochondrial Eve, and Gary Kowalski helps us to imagine. Picture this. Your own mother is holding her mother's hand. Now, add a link to the chain. Your grandmother is holding your mother's hand. And another link so that you have a continuation of great-grandmothers and now departed female ancestors standing hand in hand. This is your birth line. Imagine this human chain stretching into the distance as far as the human eye can see. The woman known as mitochondrial Eve would be standing somewhere in this line of your foremothers about 10,000 generations ago, or roughly 6 miles away from here. Now, imagine another line of females facing your family line. This second line is also comprised of daughter, mother, grandmother, and beyond. However, this second line is made up of chimpanzees. For miles and years, the two lines run like parallel train tracks. But finally, at about 160 miles away, roughly 5 million years ago, you would discover a figure where the two lines converge. That point, 5 million years ago, is where we all converge with chimpanzees and our shared ancestry. Years ago, I was working in a refugee camp in Costa Rica, and a group of small boys, they were about 4, 5, and 6, took me off into the woods. They said, we're going to show you how we talk to the monkeys. And we journeyed over beaten paths, and they showed me this opening with gigantic tree canopies. I think they were about 60 or 70 feet high. And at first, there were no monkeys. And then the boys said, watch this. And I joined in. And soon enough, here comes one monkey, and then a couple more, and back and forth, we are going, woo, 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 and the monkeys are calling down to us. And I was thrilled by this interaction. And as the years have gone by, I've realized that one of the reasons my soul was probably coming so alive and just thrilled with that moment was that I was meeting relatives. I hadn't thought of it that way. Recently, studies show that modern-day human beings and chimpanzees, not the little monkeys I was talking to, but chimpanzees are relatives of both, we share anywhere from 96 to 99.6% DNA with chimps. These days, I go to the zoo more than I have in the past, and I love to observe the great apes. I look in their eyes, and I imagine talking to them. I feel like we can feel each other, and I think, yeah, me too. Oh, really? You don't say. Wow. And they are separated by thick glass, so when I'm around the smaller monkeys, I like to talk with them a little bit in English or in their own language and with my sons. Two points that I want to highlight today are I want to encourage you to try and open up and be in awe of the miraculous enterprise of life, all the shapes and forms of life. Too often I forget to do that. So open up. Be open to the awe. And number two, remember we are kin with all life. We humans are not separate entities as one might believe from some of the creation stories. The endless mind-boggling fact, to me at least, is that we human beings are related to all plants and animals on the earth. Roughly 3.8 billion years ago, the first cells of life appeared, and from them, there are lines of life. And we're all connected. 400 million years ago, the ancient lobe-finned fish set out across the tidal flat in search of fresh water. The efforts of that fish were historic contributions to its later-to-be relatives, like a red-tailed hawk soaring overhead, a long-necked giraffe extending to the highest leaf for snack, the humpback whale doing a 90-degree backflip in the deepest ocean waters, and all of us sitting here today. This is our common creation story. Many of us too often forget that we human beings have so much in common with sunflowers announcing glory with gold and black, hippos cooling in the water and just having their snout up to breathe, or squirrels gathering nuts preparing for the cold. It's also true that we humans are the only known animals on the planet with the ability to reflect back and look ahead and make a strategy of how we might be able to corporately integrate ethics into our behavior. Elm trees do not express a sense of justice. Raccoons do not write love ballads. Turtles don't give big warm hugs when they tell jokes. But the third point I want all of us, including myself, to remember today is that as we stay aware of the awe-inspiring force of life and the fact that we human beings are related to all life, we should use our gifts as human beings to be special stewards in building beloved community with all of life. Building beloved community are the first three important words in our mission statement as a congregation. We are building beloved community amongst ourselves, in our congregation, members and visitors. We are building beloved community with surrounding communities on the planet. The Ebola epidemic is tragic and dangerous. We want this place to be somehow a part of fighting and helping in that cause. There is, as we know from watching NFL football news, in all of our country, there is too much abuse of women and children. We want to be a part of building beloved community to move away from abuse and towards safety. We are also building beloved community with all of life, and it's very exciting. We are the animals with empathy and cognitive skills for planning of how we might implement ethics. We don't always have good plans. The plans don't always have the best intentions. Sometimes we fail. But we are the religious social animal. Darwin himself was aware of this distinctiveness for humans. Darwin felt that most ethical principles applicable to humans should also apply to all sentient life. He was a dedicated member of the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty of Animals. He often surrounded himself lovingly with dogs and other pets. And a little bit like St. Francis here, as a fisherman, in order to reduce suffering, Darwin regularly dipped his worms in brine before impaling them on the hook. He was trying. I bet he did not step on ants, but I have not read that. As we look around at the miraculous force of life and proclaim the beauty of being kin with all life, we know that we're not the only animals who show care. Many animals show care. Dogs, birds, cats, elephants, the list goes on. Among the many higher mammals, they also express concern. And I want to thank Joanna in the choir. Raise your hand, Joanna. Who taught me last week about a new mammal that I was not aware of, the bonobo. The bonobo monkey, which is a cousin of the chimpanzee. There may be only 30,000 bonobos remaining. They are in danger. They live primarily in the Congo, which has been ravaged by bloody civil war, and the bonobos have been poached. The bonobo's cousin, the chimpanzee, is better known. And the chimpanzee can be competitive and violent. Chimps are known, for example, to hunt and kill each other as individuals and as groups. The bonobos are much more cooperative and peaceful. The bonobos are female dominated. In their groups, just like the Unitarian Church, run by the females. I'm not joking, I'm a lifetime Unitarian. We have more female ministers than male ministers. We're the only religion in the country that can say that. It's a great thing. In their groups of the bonobos, females decide how to share food among the group. When one group of bonobos comes, the males go off, and the females stay centrally located with the young and greet one another, feed one another, and socialize among themselves. You can watch tape of this on Nova, PBS documentary. Scientists working with these animals show through observation how they are more emotionally aware, sensitive, and skilled at conflict resolution. Many have said that these two of our closer relatives, the bonobo line would also go back about 160 miles, 5 million miles away. The bonobos and the chimpanzees, maybe if you look at them together, they show the full spectrum of human nature and behavior. We humans fight and make war. Yet we also welcome strangers, feed each other, give shelter to those in need. Bonobos and humans, however, share a piece of DNA that is absent in the chimpanzee, and that could be the link to socializing and compassion. So hopefully they'll be able to keep studying those bonobos and maybe learn more for the well-being of the planet. Tragically, bonobos are endangered, mostly due to human war. Other animals are at risk due to environmental degradation and war. Not always due to human error, but many times we are contributing to problems. Let us pray and put hands and legs and effort into our prayers that we human beings may pay more attention to the miracles of all related life, and with the gratitude from those blessings of our interconnected web of all existence, may we better be stewards of our earth and all related kin. A few questions for all of us, including myself, to consider. How do your personal ethics impact your diet? Are you making choices that help with better treatment of animals? Are you making choices that help reduce carbon emissions in our planet? I'm asking these questions to myself as well. How do your ethics play out in leisure activities like going to zoos or circuses or aquariums? Are the animals in those places treated as well as they deserve? Or are there better ways that we could be doing things as the human family? A few spiritual exercises to do something, to try and do something for all of us. Eat local food, locally produced food. Eat organic food. Many of you are very strong in this. I'm not presuming otherwise. There's an organization called Seafood Watch that can give you a list of how sea life is treated and how the farming of sea life impacts Mother Earth, and you can look at that to help inform your decisions in eating. Many of you do this one already, but this is a spiritual exercise to just keep doing it. Be kind to your pets or to pets in your neighborhood. And the last spiritual exercise is share your passion and ideas about kindness to animals and being a good steward to Mother Earth with others. Have those conversations. Jen Leiby helps me with a lot of my sermons, and she helped me with a lot of these ideas. She help me. Now I want to try and help someone else, and I would like you just bring this up and let's talk about it together. Let's keep helping each other. Picture this. Picture this. We are sitting in a field with bonobos and dogs and cats, and you can bring your own animal of choice. We're all sitting peacefully in this field, and it's nighttime. And we look up at the stars, which are smiling down on all of us. You say to everyone gathered there, we are made of the same stuff as those stars. All of us. All of us animals. Another friend says, this is good. This is cool. We are lucky to have such wonderful kin. Another friend says, let us pray and put arms and legs on our prayers that we all be dedicated to building beloved community with our friends and family. Blessings be. Amen.